And I'd like to direct you to Matthew's Gospel as we continue studying through the Gospel of Matthew. We're looking at chapter 15. I titled this message, God Wants to Use You. But I had an experience, and it was a unique experience as I was preparing for this morning's message. And that is, the Lord gave me another message. So I have two messages that I want to share with you this morning. And we'll talk about how God wants to use you later on in our study. But think of this. Think of yourself entering into a museum or an art gallery. And as you're walking, you see all the beautiful masterpieces on the walls there. Some of them are just priceless. Well, the Bible is somewhat of a gallery. It's certainly priceless. And on display for us is the beauty in so many different portraits of Jesus. And so I'd like to start by sharing with you three different portraits of Jesus. And Jesus, he is so wonderful in how he ministers. And there's three ways that we can look to Christ this morning. And I'm believing that, if not all of them, especially one of them is going to speak to you in a powerful way. And in our text, we're going to see, number one, Jesus, our Savior, he's going to be portrayed as the great physician. Jesus, our great physician. And then, Jesus, our great shepherd. He is the great shepherd of the flock. He really does care for his people. And then the third, we'll see Jesus, our great provider. Now, I draw your attention to verse 29. And here Matthew tells us that Jesus departed from there. That was the region of Tyre and Sidon, and skirted the Sea of Galilee. And he went up on the mountain and sat down there. And as he's sitting, here comes this great multitude of people. They're seeking, they're searching, they're seeking Jesus. And Jesus is there available to minister to them as the great physician. And these that come, they have all different kinds of issues. Some were lame. Some were blind. Some were mute. Some were maimed. And then a whole bunch of things that aren't even listed. Things that for you and I to heal, it's an impossibility. All these different issues. And yet for the Lord, no matter what the issue was, it wasn't an issue for him. And the beauty of this is that they came with their issues and they laid themselves down at Jesus' feet. They laid them down at the feet of Jesus. There is no greater place to be. And then he healed them. Man, I would have loved to be there and witness that. He healed them all. There was nothing too difficult for him. He healed them as the great physician. And now, you know, he hasn't changed. Jesus hasn't changed. He is our great physician. And the Bible tells us in Psalm 103, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." It tells us how he's healed us of all of our diseases. Yes, I understand Jesus is not here present. When he was here in the first century, present, he was healing people. And this was exactly what Isaiah the prophet said about our physician, that he would be healing people, that God would be present healing people. You could read it in Isaiah chapter 35, where he would give sight to the blind. He would strengthen the feeble knees. He would heal people who had all different kinds of issues. And Jesus did that. And it was to mark out that Jesus indeed is the Messiah. But the Lord has promised us in his word that he heals all of our diseases. And I believe that God could heal. He doesn't always heal everyone. We understand that. But everyone that is born again one day will experience a complete healing. And that promise is certain. That's what awaits us. So even though we might not in this temporal world experience some kind of healing, I know some of us might be praying for a physical healing. We're subjected to different things, and he might not heal us, but we have that hope knowing that one day all of these different infirmities, he is going to heal them. Now, as our great, great physician, he does heal. And not so much physical things as he did when he was here on the earth, but he does heal broken lives, hurting people. He's doing that right now. Some of us, we were sick with sin. We were lame, maimed, spiritually blind. But we came to him. And we laid ourselves at his feet, and we humbled ourselves before him. And he began to do that healing work. Isn't that glorious? And you know, perhaps today, some of us have some issues, and they all vary. And it's not a health issue, but it's a matter of the heart. You know, I would say, it would be safe to say that most of us, if we all had the opportunity to share, most of us have some kind of issue that we're dealing with. And I want to encourage you, believer and non-believer, there is only one answer for healing. There's only one answer for restoration, and that's the gospel. That's Jesus, our Savior, and what he did on the cross. You know, bring that issue and lay it at his feet. Because that is where the healing begins. Maybe you've been striving with it up until this point. Maybe you've been worried, preoccupied, overly concerned with an issue. But our great physician, he is saying to you this morning, hey, just bring it. Bring it. You're hurting. I'll heal you. Just bring it and lay it at my feet. Just surrender it. And I'll help you. You know, and he does this because he is our great shepherd. He's our physician, he is our shepherd, and he loves, as the physician and as a shepherd, he loves to heal and make people whole and restore lives from the inside out. Look what the scriptures tell us. He said, so the multitude marveled when they saw the mute speaking and the maimed made whole and the lame walking and the blind seeing, and they glorified the God of Israel. And now Jesus, we get a glimpse of him as our great shepherd. He calls his disciples to himself, and he said, I have compassion on the multitude. And that is such a beautiful picture revealed of the heart of God. He is a God of compassion. Because he is the shepherd of the sheep, he cares about each one of us and everything that we're going through. He genuinely does care. When you and I feel like there's no one else that really cares about us, one thing we can know for certain is that God does care about you. He loves you. And he will show you a love, and he shows us a love that no one no one is capable of showing us. And a lot of our hurts come from the failures of people. Our own failures, we hurt ourselves. How many of us have hurt ourselves? We've put ourselves in situations and we say to ourselves, I got no one to blame but me. I did this to myself. Other times we're hurt by other people. And the Lord, He really does care about us and our needs and even meeting our practical needs as we see here. He says, I have compassion on the multitude because they have now continued with me 3 days and have nothing to eat, and I don't want to send them away hungry lest they faint on the way. You know, here are people who are seeking the Lord. They were really seeking. Think about it. For 3 days, they're out in the wilderness just wanting to listen to Jesus share the things about the kingdom. They just had a hunger for the word. And for 3 days, man, I would love for us for the next 3 days just to get into the word and stay in the word for 3 days. I know some of you are thinking, I wouldn't like that. I would. That would be awesome. Just give me a couple chicken wings every once in a while, and we'll be ready to go. We just talk about the scriptures, answer questions, and then open it up for other people to just share, and it would be fantastic. But Jesus being present, I'm sure nobody wanted to hear anybody else but Jesus. And for 3 days, they were there out in the wilderness. And then he was coming to a time where this session was going to close and he was going to send them away. But the journey was something that, because of their hunger, their condition, he said they would faint on the way. Think about how Jesus cares about even little things, practical things, because he's our good shepherd. And so, as our good shepherd, we understand he cares about us, even in the little practical things. And it shows how he is our great provider as well. Then his disciples said to him, where could we get such bread in the wilderness to fill such a great multitude? And Jesus said to them, how many loaves do you have? And they said, 7 and a few little fish. And so he commanded the multitude to sit down on the ground. And he took the 7 loaves and the fish and gave thanks, broke them, and gave them to his disciples. And the disciples gave to the multitude. So they all ate and were filled. And they took up 7 large baskets full of the fragments that were left. Now, think of this. Those who ate were 4,000 men, besides women and children. After he took care of them, after he provided for them, then he sent them away. And it tells us, and he sent away the multitude, got into the boat, and came to the region of Magdala. You know, one of the things that we can rest assured as our provider, and some of us may not be in a place where we have a need, but some of you might be in a situation where you have a need. God knows your need. God knows what you need. And one of the things that we can rest assured upon as followers of Christ is that He will provide for us. And maybe right now you're in a situation and you're wondering, how is this going to work out? How is this going to end? Right now, it's not looking good. One of the things that we can take to heart is that the Lord is going to work it out. He's going to take care of you because He loves you. And the Bible says not only does He love, but He has compassion. And that word compassion is that He is moved. He's moved inside of His spirit and inside of His heart. He's moved. So much so that He will act just like He acted for these who followed Him in the first century. He will act on your behalf. Isn't that glorious? And then in this case, there was so much left over. God is just so good that way. When you and I, we trust Him, We lay our issues at his feet. He heals us. He cares for us. And he provides for us. He is so awesome. And when you and I experience God working in our lives and restoring and healing us, he certainly does want to use us. There was a group of people that were seeking him, and he was ministering to them as the great shepherd. But then there were others that were being used by him. The disciples, God wanted to use them. And God wants to use you. And now I want to focus on how God wants to use you. I want us to think about this question. How do you know when God wants to use you in a special way? Now, actually, I certainly believe that God wants to use all of us in special ways. And what makes it so special is God himself. I mean, God is awesome. He is so special. And anything that he wants to do is special. It's beautiful. It's unique. It's powerful. It's life-changing. He brings healing. He does so much for us when we trust him. But also what makes it special is because he chooses us. He wants to use all of us. And every single one of us are so unique. We are all one of a kind. One of a kind. And only you can carry out the purpose and the plan that God has for you like no one else can. That's what makes it special. You are given by God a certain set of skills and abilities. You have a certain personality that is unique to you, and that is precious. And God wants to use you. You know, the scriptures tell us in the Psalms that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. And as I think about that, I think, wow, what a precious thing, Lord, that you love me. You created me with purpose. I'm very special to you, and you want to use me. But what are the signs? What are the signs that you and I can look at to determine that it's the Lord leading or directing us for a purpose, and it's not just our own feelings and our own thoughts? Well, if you're a note taker, you can write this down. The first thing is this: you will sense a call to the Lord himself. The disciples, look at verse 32. It says, "Now Jesus called his disciples to himself." And see, that's the priority. Christ himself is the priority. You know, who knows what the disciples were doing? They could have been involved in conversation. We know there was 4,000 men. I know when I'm in a group of people, I'm engaged in conversation, or I'm doing, you know, I might be listening. But at this point, obviously, the teaching session was over. So they could have been ministering to people, talking to people, encouraging people. Jesus couldn't reach them all. But Jesus, he called them to himself, and they had to respond. And that's the same thing that God does when he wants to use us, and he wants to use all of us. How many of you have heard the call of God in your life in some time past? I mean, I would hope all your hands would go up. What's wrong? Are you that lazy? You can't even lift your hand up? You know you could sense when God calls you. But one of the things that I love about the Lord is he doesn't call you specifically to a work. He calls you specifically to himself. And so you'll sense that call to Jesus. And you'll want to just come to him and worship him. You'll sense that. The second thing is the Lord, he'll reveal his heart and what he wants to do. He always does that. In the text here, it tells us in verse 32, he says, "I have compassion. I have compassion on the multitudes." That is a revelation of the heart of God, that he really cares about people. That's what's on his heart. He cares about people. And not everyone understands that. And he calls people to himself so that they can be a part of this process of communicating the heart of God to other people that don't understand that. Many of us here, we didn't understand how God loved us. Remember before you came to Christ? Before I came to Christ, I thought that God couldn't love me because of all of the things that I had done that I knew that were wrong. I had that mindset, God can't love me. And I was so wrong, but it wasn't until someone, God used someone to share the gospel and tell me about the love that Jesus had for me. And there's other people that need to hear the heart of God. And you and I are the vessels that God chooses to go out and to communicate and to share the love of God, the compassion that God has on people. And there are people that are out there that are seeking. They're really seeking the Lord, but they need that connection. They need you and they need me to be that in-between, so to speak, to help them experience and come to Christ where they themselves can continue in their walk with Jesus. You remember that one woman who had that encounter with Jesus at the well, and then she went and she told all the men in the city, and the men came back, and then in the end they got connected with Jesus, and they said, now we believe, not because of what you told us, but now we believe ourselves. And sometimes God uses us to be that bridge. And so he reveals his heart, and then he reveals what he wants to do. Basically, I want to feed these people. And that's what the Lord is always wanting to do. He wants to feed the souls of men. Certainly, this was practical feeding the body, but he wants to even more so feed the souls of men. He wants to minister to the hearts of people. And when the Lord, this is the third thing, reveals his heart and will, one of the things that will often happen, and this is a sign that you can tell that God is calling you to use you, is you'll feel greatly insufficient. Look at the disciples here. They felt somewhat of a responsibility to do something. And you can pick that up by the way that they responded. It tells us in verse 33, the disciples said to him, where could what? We. They felt some kind of responsibility at the revelation of the heart of Christ. Where could we get enough bread in the wilderness? Here's the obstacles, the problems, to fill such a great multitude. You know, there are others that had that sense of insufficiency. They just felt inadequate. Who comes to mind? Think about Moses. Moses comes to mind. Moses, he said, who am I? When the Lord began, the Lord drew him, he called him, he began to reveal his heart and what he wanted to do. One of Moses' response was, who am I? Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh? And who am I that I should be a part of delivering the people out of Egypt? Who am I? Gideon. A similar response. Now, not everyone's this way, but it's not an uncommon response, to that sense of, who am I? What can I do? The need is so great. I can't. Gideon, he said, look, we're the weakest in our clan, and I'm the weakest in my family. I'm so inadequate. You know, the persons that concern me are the ones that, God, I've been waiting for you. Finally, I'm ready to roll. Come on, let's get some work done, God. Those are the ones that concern me. It's the ones that feel that sense of, I can't do this. And that's what God wants. There's that element of faith that must be present in the individual that God uses. That element of dependency. And that sense of, this is beyond me. And you know, one of the greatest things of feeling insufficient and being inadequate and knowing that is that our insufficiency, all that does is that emphasizes the greatness of the power of Christ. Now, the fourth thing is this. Even though there's that insufficiency, the Lord will challenge you to go beyond your inadequacy. You know, in the case of his disciples, it was with the question. He says, "How many loaves do you have?" And there's always some kind of challenge. What do you have? What can you bring? Because it's the idea is that I have a burden. There's a work I want to do. I want to use you. I care about people. Anything that I want to do is beyond you. It's beyond your ability. You can't meet the greatness, but you can do something. What can you do? What do you have? What can you bring? You know, some of you may feel like, "Oh, I can't serve the Lord. I can't preach, or I can't teach, or I can't lead worship, or I can't evangelize, or I don't have any kind of administrative skills, or I can't talk to people. I feel like everything that comes out of my mouth is just doesn't make any sense." So often we think about what we can't do. And one of the things that God does is he says, "Look, I don't ask you for what you can't do. I've given you gifts and talents. There's something that you can do. What can you do? It may be small. It may be insignificant, but that's the place to start. That's where God starts with us." And so he asked them a question. "How many loaves do you have? What can you bring?" And here is where many people fail. Many people fail because they never get to the point where they just bring the little that they have. They're too afraid. They're too afraid. And we never have to be afraid to trust God wholeheartedly and just to be available, be abandoned to his will. The thing that we have to do is, number five, we have to be willing to bring to the Lord not what we can't. Obviously, he doesn't expect that, but what we can. What we can. The little that you have. See, there's something beautiful about God is that he desires our involvement. He doesn't need us. We understand that, but he does desire our involvement. And not only that, he works out situations so that there's always that element of dependency where we have to rely upon him. Otherwise, we won't be able to do it. And the Lord loves when we are operating in faith and relying upon him. And so, I'm going to wrap things up here. And I want to share with you in closing the benefits. Benefits for being available to the Lord and to his work. And there's four things. The first thing is this. You get to be a part of something greater than yourself. I mean, think about this massive undertaking. The disciples, they themselves, they couldn't do it. They couldn't feed the multitudes. It was a human impossibility. But they were available. And they got to experience something greater than themselves. And isn't that what you and I are looking for? Don't you get sick and tired? Don't get me wrong. I think that routine is important, and learning how to embrace the mundane is important. I get that, because a lot of life things are mundane, aren't they? And if you're always looking for some kind of high or some kind of excitement, you'll ruin, if you're married, you could ruin your marriage, you could ruin your family, you can ruin a lot of things. And so it's good to develop stability, but it's also wonderful to be a part of something that's much greater than yourself. And all the work of God is beyond us. It's much greater than ourselves. The second thing is you get to see God do great things. When you're available to God and you say, Lord, I know I can't, but I sense your call. Here I am, Lord. I'm just bringing the little that I have. I'm not like that person. I can't do it like them. I can't, but I'm me. You created me, and you love me, and you've given me gifts and talents, and here I am. Lord, use me. When you make yourself available, you get to see God do great things. Those disciples got to see him do miracles. The third thing is you get to see others blessed by God through you. Here they brought the little that they had. Jesus took it. He blessed it. And then he gave it to them, and they distributed it. They were a part of ministering and blessing other people, and God used them. And then the last thing is you get blessed far more than what you initially give. How many of you could say amen to that? Isn't that true? Us as his disciples that have surrendered our lives to his purpose, in the end, we always are so much more blessed than what we give. I've received so much more, just like it says in the text. At the end of that experience, there were 7 large baskets full of leftovers. They weren't small baskets, large baskets. And you know, so often at the end of being available to God's purposes, I feel so blessed and so filled with joy. I can care less about the food. I like the soul food. I like what God does to my spirit and my soul. And there's no greater joy than being available for what God wants to do. I wonder how many of you are in a situation right now where you're afraid, but you sense that call of God's life, of God on your life, and you, because of fears, because of all of this what ifs, or all of the I can't, or that's too great, or how can we get, how is this going to happen? Why, if the Lord is calling you, why don't you just trust him? Why don't you just surrender to him? And just bring the little that you are. Start right there, because that's all we are. We're just nothing. We're just little nothings. Some of us, we think we're something, but we're really nothing. We're something when God is working in and through us. And what we are is something to bring glory to God. I encourage you, get over those fears and trust the Lord. I know that there are some of you sitting in this room, you've gotten over a lot of fears, and God has used you in wonderful ways. And it's such a blessing to be around you. And we just want to encourage all of us to be available for the Lord so that none of us miss out on what God has for us. And Father, we thank you so much for your word, your love, your peace, the joy that we have because of you. God, I pray that you continue to pour out your blessings over us, your people. And Lord, I know that there are some here that this message spoke to them very specifically. They have sensed that call. They have caught your burden. They understand that you want to do a work, and they feel inadequate. And you're challenging them to go beyond their feelings, to go beyond their resources, to just trust you, and to be available to fulfill your will. And God, I pray that you'd bless them and anoint them and use them. And I thank you, Lord, that you are the great physician, you are our great shepherd, and you are our great provider. And we can always rest assured knowing that as we are available for your purposes, you're going to heal our hearts when we're hurting. You're going to lead us as the good shepherd, and you're going to provide for us. And for that, we are grateful, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen and amen.